Welcome to an Impact Ministries production, brought to you by Impact Ministries World Changers, changing the way the world sees God. Learn how you can become a world changer today by visiting www.impactministries.com. Now, here's your host, founder of Impact Ministries and developer of Heart Physics, the self-development programs that have changed thousands of lives around the world, Dr. Jim Richards.
Hello, I'm Jim Richards, and I want to invite you not only to this message, but this entire series on living in divine favor. And today we're going to be talking about favor with people, because obviously, when we think about having God's favor, probably more than anything else, we think about other people giving us favor, giving us approval, giving us acceptance, being pleased with it. Well, I'll tell you what, the Bible tells you that when our ways are pleasing to the Lord, even our enemies will be at peace with us. You're talking about favor, man, when your enemies are at peace with you, you are living in incredible divine favor. Now listen, you can get this entire program or the entire series at impactministries.com. Be sure and check it out. All of our programs are always posted, so you can go back and watch all of them. Listen, send a message out to everybody on Facebook. Send it out to your friends. Send them emails. Let people hear this so everybody can enjoy and participate in this divine favor of God. And I can't wait to share this series, Living in Divine Favor. God wants your life to be so good, literally, that people envy you. This 6-CD message is going to bless you. It's going to show you how to live on a whole new plane of life, to enjoy the very best that life has to offer, to maximize joy and peace, and to minimize stress and frustration. Living in Divine Favor. Well, here we are in this fourth message in this series of Living in Divine Favor. Man, I hope you've gotten some stuff that's practical and workable. You know, maybe you get tired of the word practical, but you know, the word wisdom always has to do with practical application. And that just seems to be the thing that is missing so much today from the lives of most believers. I mean, good people, godly people that have incredible amounts of information about God's truth and God's promises and God's covenant. But when it comes to walking out in the real world, unfortunately, so many people just can't bring it to pass. Now, this is why this message on favor and understanding that favor and grace really go hand in hand. They overlap. The root word for favor in the New Testament is the word grace. And so since grace is all about application, grace is about being able to do without getting under law. It's about being able to do something in a strength that is greater than your own strength. It's about living beyond your own capacity. It's about being able to do what you didn't know you could do because you're not doing it out of your own knowledge. And so in reality, if we want to have favor in the real world, it all gets down to experiencing grace that makes us able to be and do and all that God says we can be or do. You know, we started out this series reading this scripture, or early on in this series, we read this scripture in Acts 2:46, where it says, talking about the early church, it says, "So continuing daily with one accord in the temple, and breaking bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness and with simplicity of heart, praising God, and having favor with all of the people. And the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved." Man alive, you know, when you read that passage of Scripture, you think about this group of people having a favor with these people who really, not very long before this, were lining the streets watching Jesus drag his cross down to be crucified, and nobody stood up for him. You think about the fact that these were people that were afraid of the Pharisees and the Sanhedrin. They could be kicked out of the synagogue. They could be disfellowshipped. They could get the left foot of fellowship. And in their minds, if that happened, they'd be cut off from God. And so suddenly all of these people that had been afraid and been hostile, afraid to stand up for Jesus when he was crucified, even though he had healed many of them, now suddenly they're having divine favor with all of these people. And because of this favor, this is so important, The Lord didn't add to the church just because they were out preaching soul winning messages. And let me tell you something. If you know me and you know my background, I came up a soul winner. I started this journey, winning the lost. I started out bringing people to Jesus. And I'll tell you something, that's still my passion to this day. But I have never been the kind of soul winner that went out and poked your hand in somebody's chest and said, you got to get born again. And no. You know what? It always happened. I always use the term influence. It always happened through what I call divine influence. But the real truth is divine influence and divine favor are pretty much one and the same thing. Because divine influence is when something is working in your life from within that affects you in such a way that it changes the world around you or influences the world around you. You know, I've had my share of visions and dreams and incredibly supernatural experiences, and you know I don't share them very often. But one of the experiences that I had way back in the actually in the early 80s, when I was dying of a kidney disease and I was trying to walk into healing. I knew healing was mine, but I knew I wasn't experiencing it, and I knew that it didn't matter what was mine legally. If I didn't experience it, I was going to die, and I was going to leave behind the woman and the children that I loved, and I was going to leave behind a call to the ministry that was going to be unfulfilled. And so I want to live in what Jesus had died to give me. So one night I had a night vision, and in this night vision, I saw something that it looked like a mass falling out of heaven, and it went into something that looked like a container. And when that happened, I perceived the voice of God saying, "This is like my life that comes into you and fills up your entire being." And man, I was rejoicing. I was thanking God for the life that's in us. And then suddenly it was like this container was a colander, which was filled with holes. And suddenly that life started leaking out of that colander. And I said, oh no, the life, it's leaking out. And the Lord said, "No, that's the life that's in your spirit. And now this is leaking out into another realm of your being. And it's transforming your soul, your mind, your emotions." And so I began to rejoice. And as I was watching this, and I can't even put into words what it looked like, I saw this life then go into another realm. And I realized that it was being picked up into the bloodstream, because the life is in the blood, and it was being carried to all the parts of the body. And I began to rejoice and think, "Oh, praise God, that life that's in me, if it gets into my soul, then I have totally different emotions. I have totally different thinking. If it gets into my body, if it permeates my body, then that life brings strength and life and resurrection life to my mortal physical body." And then all of a sudden, I saw what represented this life going out of the body, and I said, "Lord, where is it going?" And the Lord said, "It's touching the world around you and influencing others." Man, you talking about a wake up call. You're talking about coming to a realization. You see, that's when I started realizing that God wasn't going to touch the world outside and prepare it for me to go, take the gospel to it. But God was going to touch the world from the inside of each of us out to others, and that our inward experience, as we allowed it to permeate the way we think, the way we talk, the way we work, our physical health, our joy, our marriage, all of these things, that ultimately that influences everybody else. And it's not just influencing people because they see what we're doing. You see, here's something that we know. Every time your heart beats, every single time your heart beats, there is a signal that goes out to every cell of your body. And that signal produces an influence on every cell in your body. In fact, this is the key to living in divine health. Because when we believe the truth in our heart, every time our heart beats, it sends out a signal that updates the cells in our body so that those cells synchronize with the beliefs of our heart. And our cells, they can't get better and they can't get worse than the beliefs of our heart. So the cells of our body, our physical health and stamina. Now, I understand there's natural things that happen that may momentarily cause us to be sick, but the thing is if we got the right beliefs in our heart, we always come back to health. There may be situations where we momentarily, we drink coffee and caffeine, and we seem to have more energy, but we always come back to what's really in our heart. Your heart is like the thermostat that controls every single thing around you. Well, I'll tell you something. That belief of your heart, it doesn't stop with your cells. It doesn't stop at your skin. This belief of your heart, it's a signal that goes beyond you and touches the world around you. We don't know how far it goes, but scientifically we know that you can take two cells out of the same body and you can separate them by miles apart, and if a change happens in one, it happens in the other. So we know that there's a communication that goes beyond anything that we can comprehend. Well, I'll tell you something. These beliefs of our heart, they come out of us, and I'm telling you what, they touch the world around us. You know, if you've got deceit in your heart, if you've got dishonesty in your heart, if you've got laziness in your heart, if you've got anger in your heart, people might not know exactly what it is that they're feeling or perceiving, but they're going to sense something about you, and unless they're easily deceived, they're going to follow what they're sensing. I want to tell you something. The early church, man, they were living in a new reality of who they were in Jesus. They were breaking out of the bonds of legalism. They were breaking out of the bonds of oppression and the negativity of legalism. They were loving people with the love of God, man. They were praying for the sick, and phenomenal things were happening. And I'll tell you something that's really interesting. We only have a couple of miracles that happened there in the book of Acts that transformed the whole city. I don't know. I mean, it may have been happening, but we don't know that they were just running around getting miracles everywhere. So it wasn't the miracles that was changing and giving them influence. It was the way they lived. And the way they lived, and I'm not talking about they did everything right. I'm talking about they had a quality of life. They had a peace. They had a joy that influenced the people around them and caused those people to give them what we know as favor. You know, years ago, I don't want to make any disparaging marks about anybody because these organizations have nothing to do with it, but there's one particular city. Actually, there's several cities in the United States where they have major charismatic Bible colleges or Bible schools. And in most of those cities, nobody wants to rent to those people. Waiters and waitresses in restaurants do not want to wait on those people. People don't want to make loans to them. People don't want to hire them at jobs because they have this crazy idea that I'm going to live by faith, which means I'm going to sign a contract for something I can't pay for, and I'm going to live by faith and believe God to make a way for this to happen. And millions of people around the world are turned off to God because of that kind of foolishness of people thinking that favor is something that comes when I live any way I want to live, but I'm just going to believe God to make people like me. You know, I was so influenced back in the early 70s by Dr. Cho, who was the pastor of the world's largest church in Seoul, Korea. And people came, when businesses needed to hire employees, they went to his church. They wanted people who came from his church because they knew that the character and the ethics, the work ethic of the people in his church was such that they would be dependable. They would be the kind of employees that they wanted. I want to tell you something. If that was the testimony of Christians in America, we'd be winning this country left and right. But it's like, how many politicians do you know, you know, that speak at prayer breakfast and there probably are Christians, but they talk about being a Christian, they talk about their faith, and then they pass laws that are anti-God, anti-Bible. I mean, being a Christian means almost nothing in this country because we don't view Christianity and character and honesty and integrity as being all part of the same deal. We view Christianity as going to church, praying, observing all the spiritual laws that people tell us to obey. We don't see it as our character in the workplace and the way we treat other people. You know something, because of Dr. Cho's influence, I remember thinking when we had a residential Bible program, Bible college, I remember thinking, you know what? I want that kind of reputation for our Bible school. I want it where our Bible school students can get the best jobs in this town, because they're going to be part-time jobs. They're going to be supporting their families. They're going to be Bible. They need good jobs. And you know what? That's really what happened. Most of the time that we had a Bible college here, there were places here in this town that if one of our Bible school students went, they pretty much got hired on the spot, because those companies knew that these students were committed to integrity. They had a work ethic. They knew that we saw responsibility and integrity and honesty as part and parcel of what it meant to be a believer. You know, we talked about Joseph. You know, Acts 7:9 refers to Joseph. It says, "And the patriarchs, becoming envious, sold Joseph into Egypt." But it says, "But God was with him and delivered him out of his troubles and gave him favor and wisdom in the presence of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and he made him governor over Egypt and all of his house." Man, remember, we talked about Joseph, and we talked about the way God gave Joseph favor was by working in Joseph, by however Joseph managed in his heart to have the kind of integrity and work ethic that he had. Now see, this is not earning something from God. This is about relating to people. This is about influencing the people around us. You see, if we want the favor of God, then we gotta live like God. We gotta treat people like God treats people. You know something? Our country, America, had godly favor when we were a godly country. You know, Exodus 3:21, God says, "I will give this people favor in the sight of the Egyptians, and it shall be when you go that you shall not go empty-handed." In other words, all these people are going to loan you all this stuff. And then when the children of Israel, when they were getting ready to come in the promised land, God said, "Now listen, I'm giving you these statutes about how to have civil order, about what needs to happen in your courtroom. I'm giving you these statutes about how to raise kids. I'm giving these statutes about how to treat people. And I'm doing it so that you'll have favor with all of these people and you'll be able to live long in the land." Let me tell you something. If America falls, America will not fall because God withdrew his blessing. America will fall because America stopped choosing the blessings. They stopped walking in the integrity of God. They will fall because of iniquity, because of the rejection of God's standards and morals and values as our blueprint for how to live life. And you know something? The great thing is we got the grace of God that makes us able to live godly if we just want to. You know, Proverbs 16:7 says, "When a man's ways please the Lord, he makes even his enemies to be at peace with him." You know, that's something that was, I don't remember if it's in the prayer organizer, but it was something I had written into my prayer organizer. "Father, I thank you that my ways are pleasing to you and that my enemies are at peace with me." And I tell you, the Lord spoke to me. He said, "Well, if you want your enemies to be at peace with you, you need to bless them that curse you. You need to do good to them that hate you. You need to pray for them that despitefully use you." And as I began to seek this whole thing about our enemies being at peace with us, God began to show me things like apologize to your enemies, whether they ever apologize to you or not. Let them know that you were wrong. Don't be afraid to admit you were wrong just because they're your enemy and just because they're trying to hold something over your head. You know, that's one of the things that has so corrupted our judicial system. If you were driving down the road today and a drunk staggered out in front of you and you hit him in your car and you contacted his family and apologized, you know, that would be tantamount to an admission of guilt, an admission that you had done something wrong. And then the crazy thing is, whenever you go to court, if you haven't shown remorse by apologizing, they might add to your sentence. You know, we have just so left the way of the Lord. But you know what? Just apologize. Even when they don't apologize for their part, even when they want to blame you for everything, own your part. Admit to being wrong. It is not the end of the world. Accept your responsibility in every conflict. Be honest with people, even when they're dishonest with you. You know, pay people what you owe them. I think I've told you this story. There's a businessman here in town. Matter of fact, I know I've told it, but I'm going to tell it again. There's a businessman here in town, and I've been doing business with him for well over 20 years. You know, Brenda and I, over a period of time, because I've pretty much always supported myself outside of the ministry. I always got a modest check, you know, from within the ministry. But to live the lifestyle that I wanted to provide for my wife and kids, I had to make more money than I was willing to take out of the ministry. And so over the years, I've always been in some kind of a business. And to be quite honest, I've always succeeded, always made money, and I've been able to do it and treat people right. So we flipped 17 houses, and we, in this neighborhood that we live in, these houses were horrible. This was a drug-infested neighborhood, and one by one, we would buy up these houses, and we would completely, completely remodel them. We would strip them down. We would put new plumbing, new wiring, new insulation, new flooring, new windows, new sheetrock, a new roof, new air conditioning. I mean, basically, it would be a brand new house. And whenever we would get them appraised, then we would find a young family with children usually, and we would sell that house to them for a few thousand dollars under the appraised value. So it'd be just like handing them a gift for, you know, for $5,000. And they would get into the house with no down payment. And suddenly they would have this incredible home that they would live in. Well, you know, we would sow into people's lives like that. We would sow into the ministry with the excess money that we would make, and we would live really well with it. But in those kinds of situations, I can't tell you how many times people were trying to beat me. And here's the sad thing. I never had anybody try to beat me. That was a lost person. It was always a Christian. But in the process of this time, there was the man that I always borrowed the money from to build these houses was a businessman. And I tell you, people in Huntsville would tell me, don't do business with him. He's corrupt. He'll cheat you. If you don't pay him, he'll send his goons out to break your legs and all that kind of stuff. And as it turned out, this person helped me in my ministry, in my business, financially more than anybody ever has. Not because he gave me money, but because he loaned me money when I needed it. He entered into business deals and partnerships with me, and we did really, really incredible. Well, I was in his office one day when a house became available that he wanted to buy, and it was late on a Friday, and he called the man and said, "Listen, I want to buy this house. I've always been interested in it, and so I noticed you got it for sale." And they make a deal on the phone, and so he says, "Let me come by. I'll give you a deposit, and we'll wrap the deal up Monday." Well, the man on the other end of the phone says, "No, you know, your word's good to me." So he said, "You just come by Monday. We'll work everything out. You don't need to bring me a deposit today." So later on, I was back in his office, and I was asking him. I said, "Well, what happened on that house?" He said, "You know, I ended up not taking that house." I said, "Really?" And we talked about it for a few minutes, and he said, "Yeah." He said, "I just called so and so back, and he said I asked him if I gave him $10,000 to get out of this deal, would my word still be good with him?" Man, this person's word, who doesn't even claim to be a Christian, this person's word was worth $10,000. Is your word worth $10,000 to you? Now, you may not have that much money, but would your word even be worth $100 to you? You know, the Bible says, "Blessed is the man," and blessing has to do with favor. "Blessed is the man that swears to his own hurt and changes not." Man, I can't tell you the times that I have made deals with Christians, and I did my part, and then they backed out. Let me tell you something. God wants you to have the very, very, very best. Listen, and it's going to happen because you let him work for you. Come back with me. I got a mentoring moment I'm going to share with you in just a few minutes. And I hope I get to see you in one of my meetings somewhere in North America this year. We've got a lot of great things happening. Listen, I want to invite you April the 3rd through the 7th in Edmonton, Canada. I'm going to be having a seminar there with Doxon Ministries, and it's going to be about 3 days that changed the world. I'm telling you, it's going to be phenomenal. My friend Clint Byers, one of our Bible school graduates, is going to be there with me. And then in May the 16th through the 18th, I'm going to be in Victoria, British Columbia, with a Limitless Living seminar there with Bob and Audrey Miser. It's going to be phenomenal. Listen, be sure and go to my website and download the phone app. If you download the phone app, you'll get my itinerary. You'll get my daily inspirational quotes when God speaks to my heart. You'll get information about what's going on. You'll get Impact Television right on your tablet every week. You'll get our magazine. You'll get all kinds of special, inspiring things and be able to keep up with everything that is happening. Be sure and download this phone app. Get this 6-CD series on living in divine favor. I'm telling you something. I am just blown away how simple it is to live in that realm where life works the way it's supposed to be. And you go to impactministries.com and you can download this or you can order it. But I'm going to tell you something. This is going to give you the tools that you need to make life work. Maximize your joy, maximize every good part of your life, and minimize all the stress and frustration. You know, one of the things you always want to remember is that God is 100% consistent. And so truth never violates truth. And when you seem like truth, one truth is violating another truth, you got to say, there's something I'm missing here. I want you to realize something. There is an immutable law of sowing and reaping. And this is one of the ultimate secrets of living in divine favor. Because remember, living in divine favor with people has nothing to do with earning anything from God. It has to do with whether or not you're letting a godly lifestyle come out of you. That's why Luke 6 says this. He says, judge not, you shall not be judged. Condemn not, and you shall not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. Give, and it shall be given to you. Pressed down, shaken together, and running over, good measure shall men give unto your bosom. So you start realizing that people give back to us exactly what we give to them, except they give us more. So you want to ask yourself, am I giving what I want to get? Am I giving what I want to get more of back? Do I show people respect? Do I help other people when they're down? Do I help other people live their dreams? Do I treat people in a way that makes them feel good about themselves and about God? Because the real truth is, if I'm going to have favor, I got to sow favor in other people's life. I got to show them respect and treat them with dignity and worth. And I want to tell you something. When you do that, you're going to experience a favor back from you. So how is that God? Because it's God working in your character.
Thanks for listening to the weekly Impact Ministries World Changers podcast with Dr. Jim Richards. If you like what you've just heard, we encourage you to share our web address, www.impactministries.com, with friends and colleagues. Be sure to check out the resources section of our website for previous podcasts, videos, and our monthly Impact magazine. Join us next week for another great message by Dr. Jim Richards.